Praise and thanks be to the Lord, that His word overwhelms us, that His grace takes hold of us, and that His Spirit guides us into all truth. I was touched by the word we read in the word of introduction. And if we look at the context, at the time when God revealed Himself to His covenant people, great and mighty things happened at the Exodus and also at the going in. Here two things are said. Which was more to you, that you fled, and to you, Jordan, that you turned backwards? When the people of Israel were brought out of Egypt, the sea parted, for God had something special in mind for His people. And I have said it often enough, even if there is no way that you and I, that we as God's people could go, if it is not there, then God will prepare it. Then He will make it, and even it goes through the middle of the sea. What was the sea to you? Why did you retreat? Why did you part? What happened to thee? And wherefore? Plain and simple, to pave the way for God's people to pass through, to cross over, to tread the path that led to the promised land. And in the same verse, the end of the wandering of the people of Israel is brought before our eyes after the 40 years. And it says, Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back. Let us not forget, similar things happened at the Exodus and at the going in. What God did in the beginning, He does in the end. Just as He laid out the New Testament church with a mighty hand, so He will lead them in with an uplifted arm, and we will behold His glory. What ailed thee, O mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs? I have not yet seen mountains leaping and hills jumping, but with God all things are possible. When He reveals Himself to His people, then something happens around us. Then the whole environment notices it. And may He grant grace that it may soon be the case. The answer is, tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Something wonderful. Not before the people of Israel, but before the God of the people of Israel. Not for your sake and not for mine, but for the Lord's sake, who redeemed you and me and called us by our name. For His sake He does all the great things, even in this time. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, I want to show us today, with the help of God, that it is not an easy thing, and that it is not something cheap that we have received, but the revelation of the will and the Word of God in these last days. We know that many people preach about the Word of God. They read the Gospels, the Epistles, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And they teach the people, each in their own way. But God says, ye will all be taught of God, from the least to the greatest, and one will no longer need to teach another. We are standing in a time of divine instruction, in a time of divine teaching, and all for a very definite, for a great and glorious purpose, the consummation of the Church of Jesus Christ. I am going to read some scriptures today, just like in a Bible study, so that we can get the insight and the overview of the Word of God. Because what men say about God's Word is not enough. God Himself must speak to us through His Word. First of all, the Word that became great to me on this journey from Matthew chapter 13. Here, I want to read from verse 51. Matthew 13, from verse 51. Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Here we are talking about the school of the kingdom of heaven. Earthly denominations all have their schools. They have their seminaries. They have their teachers. They have the books from which they teach. They have commentaries to which they refer. There are in all the denominations, in all the churches, in all fellowships, trainings, conferences, introductions into what that particular denomination or church believes and teaches. And many of them, if they really want to do their ministry one day, they have to sacrifice many years and study to be able to teach people one day. These are human institutions, and we think of the great man of God, Paul, who was in such training, who had attended such a seminary at the feet of a great teacher, and at the end of his teaching, he knew nothing of what God did at that time, because he lacked access to Bible prophecy and divine teaching. Already in Proverbs it says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people perish. But how does divine revelation come? Not in the human school. There comes human revelation, and we can do without that. What we need is divine revelation. And the beautiful thing is, in the school of the kingdom of heaven, not only a certain elite is educated, not just a few who will later hold an office. In the school of the kingdom of heaven, all, great and small, sit together at the feet of Jesus Christ and hear His words and have them revealed through the Holy Spirit. And then in a short time, you will know more than all the others who have been in a school for years. Here it literally says, therefore every scribe which is instructed in the school of the kingdom of heaven. Everyone wants to have an education, and many who have had an education have then added conceit to it. But here we are talking about much more, the school of the kingdom of heaven, the divine instruction, the introduction into the will and into the plan of Almighty God. And here we straightway come to the word of the Old Testament, which we all know very well, from the prophet Amos. Here we are told that God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. Amos chapter 3, verse 6, 7, and 8. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Here we come to the heart of the matter. Not an evangelist, not anyone, but the Lord God has spoken, and that through His servants, the prophets, to set forth His counsel in advance. And according to this fixed counsel of God, everything takes place. And I have already said it in these days. If one of us were to ask, Lord, everything is becoming so expensive, please guide the hearts of those in government, so that things become cheaper. Guide the statesmen, so that there will be no more wars, that they will be reasonable, and so on. You can't, because the Bible predicts these things. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, costly times. All that is foretold in the Word of God must come to pass, and we cannot pray against the will of God. We must pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's go to Mark chapter 1 from verse 1. Mark chapter 1 from verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Here, nevertheless, I would like to put the emphasis on the saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ took its beginning, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, and as it is written in Malachi, the third chapter, in the first verse. Not as the scribes thought, not as they expected, but as the Lord had it proclaimed by the mouth of his prophets. Let me say directly at this point, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the consummation of the Church of the Lord will have its beginning, and not only that, but its end, as it is written in the prophets, as it is written in the Old and in the New Testament. Not as men mean it. They would certainly have thought of receiving the Lord as a great denomination and then having him in their midst. But through the prophet, God had said, behold, the voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight a highway for our God. Not as men have taught, as they expect, but as God has said in his word. This is the foundation on which the men of God stood in the beginning of the New Covenant, when not a line of the New Testament had yet been written. These men were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and recognized in everything the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And what God is doing is very different from what men expect. John stood all alone, but he was not alone, for it is written, he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Here was the connection with the prophetic word, and then came the prophetic work that followed the prophetic word. And I want us to really understand that today, by the grace of God, once and for all. God did not send Brother Branham to do something new. He sent him to bring us back to the old Word of God, to to the prophetic word to give us the overview. There is another word that became great to me in John, in chapter 1, from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. This is what we proclaim to you, and the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and preach unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Here we are clearly told that what was in God the Father has been made manifest to us in Christ. In Him we have life. And it says here, which we have seen and heard of the word of life. Now, please pay close attention. I have not yet seen a word. I have only heard it. A word that is spoken is initially invisible. But here it is said, what we have seen and what we have heard of the word of life, this we proclaim to you. The matter is very simple. The word took shape and did not remain just a word put together, formulated by letters, but the word became flesh. In other words, the promises of God given in His Word became reality. Christ is the Word made flesh. But also through the Church, every word that is spoken is to become visibly manifest. Let me explain very briefly. When we proclaim the gospel of the salvation of the soul, then it should not remain only with a proclamation. Then the soul that hears the word of salvation, that should bring about salvation in it. It should not only remain with the words. One should be able to see the visible effect of the word that one has heard with ears and with the heart and has believed it. When the Lord God spoke, "Let there be light," these were only words at the moment. But in the next moment, these words were transformed into the direct component of what was expressed through these words. That is the thing we are talking about, and that is the ministry we are moving towards. Not just words that fade away in the room that we might remember at best, but words that do not return void, but accomplish what God sent them to do. And I am convinced that if we take the prophetic message, which is after all a challenge to this generation, a calling out of the believers who belong to the bride church, and on the other hand, is misunderstood by people because they think that we are so foolish and follow a man. Who followed John? No one. People only went to hear the message of God from the mouth of this prophet, because in his person, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 was fulfilled. In his ministry, Malachi 3, verse 1 was fulfilled. And the moment God's word is fulfilled through a person and prophecy takes shape and visibly appears before our eyes, we are no longer dealing with a person called so-and-so, but with a living God who brings his word to fulfillment in this way. Who was Moses? Moses was the man whom God used to fulfill the promise he had made to Abraham. And we see that he himself had to flee, that he had to wait 40 years, but suddenly, when the time and hour of God had struck, there it is, where Brother Branham elaborates it so beautifully, that old Moses, not at his 40 years, in the full strength of man, but at his 80 years, suddenly goes down to Egypt with his staff in his hand. And if someone had asked him, "Moses, what are you up to?" surely he could have said, "Dear friends, I'm not up to anything, but the one who talked to me, the I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is sending me, and he's up to something great, and I want to be there when it happens." What was there? The same Moses. But God's hour had struck. Suddenly, God intervened, and it was no longer the skill and knowledge and ability of a man, but the Lord God had answered, "I have seen the affliction of my people, and their cry for help has come before me. That's why I'm sending you to lead them out." I ask you today, who led the people of Israel out? God or Moses? God under the leadership of Moses, because there must always be a man in whom the word can take shape and be realized. And Brother Branham also says, we have become a part of the word. We are not outside. We are not beside. We have become sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But if we look at the past, no one has difficulties. On the contrary, you can find enough who decorate the tombs of the prophets, who preach about them, and so on. But when we come to the present time, things suddenly look different, and I may really allow myself a judgment in all humility. I have met enough, let me say, men of God who are world famous, and they have all said in one accord, and perhaps still say it today, we know and believe that Brother Branham had the greatest ministry since the days of Jesus Christ, and that God was with no man as he was with him. And there you may speak today, and I will avoid mentioning names, but you may speak today to the greatest personalities in the ranks of the full gospel. But the moment Brother Branham went from the evangelistic part, from the prayer for the sick, it all remained evangelism, praying for the sick, but it went over to the next phase, which was the doctrinal part, and already many went back and followed no more. And when he then really came out with a prophetic word very clearly and said, Malachi chapter 4, the last verses must be fulfilled. And when he, like John, and I hope you understand, John gave a self-testimony. I want to read it to you from the Gospel of John, and it's the first chapter, because it's written, no one bears witness to himself, no one speaks for himself, it is better God or others speak for him. But here it is written, Gospel of John, chapter 1, from verse 19. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Now someone may ask the question, wait a minute, didn't the Lord Jesus say later in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 17, if you will accept it, Elijah is coming, but he has already come. So he put both under one roof. And if we look at it closely, in the same chapter of the prophet Malachi, it says of the first coming of Christ, of the preparation of the way, and also of the second coming of Christ. But here John answers the question, art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Yet God's word says, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, I will send you Elijah the prophet. You know, the trouble is not that God is with a man and that the dead are raised, the blind see, the lame walk, and great wonders and signs happen. The trouble is that people do not have access to the prophetic word, that what is happening now is not revealed to them out of the scriptures. They all believe in revelations, but their revelations move in a vacuum. Mark writes, the gospel of Jesus Christ began as it is written in Malachi the prophet and in Isaiah the prophet. We need to be able to say the gospel of Jesus Christ takes its end, takes its conclusion, as it is written in the prophets, as it is written in the Psalms, as written the New and Old Covenant. But we have to find those scriptures. And you can search day and night. You will read over them. Unless you are in the school of the Kingdom of Heaven. Unless you are sitting at the feet of Jesus, then one does not speak this and the other that. Then only one speaks, and that is the exalted Lord of the Church, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And you know, when you are told, we too consider Brother Branham a great man of God, the greatest man of God since the days of Jesus Christ. But since we have heard that he believes that he is the prophet that is to come before the great and terrible day of the Lord, we cannot go with him. And it is precisely where these people can no longer go along. Precisely there our journey begins for the final phase of this prophetic time in which we live. Whether you believe it today or not, whether you understand it or not, you will live to see the day and know that this has been the pure truth. And I ask you today, how did the New Testament begin? By fulfilling the word of the prophet Isaiah and the word of the prophet Micah. But how was it fulfilled? By a man who looked almost like a camel, for it's written, he wore the skin of a camel. And what do you think was going on in those people's minds? They thought, well, that man, he looks a lot like the thing whose skin he is wearing. How do you think people made fun of that? Not knowing that God reveals himself in simplicity, that he wraps himself, and that his word had taken shape in the ministry of a prophet. And our Lord says later, what did you want to see when you went out to hear John? Did you want to see a reed shaking to the left and to the right in the wind? Or someone walking in a pleasant purple robe? And the Lord says, such men as these are in kings' palaces. Whom have ye seen? And then he says it, if ye will receive it, it is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before me. What was it? The New Testament began with the fulfillment of the prophetic word in the form of a man who appeared in simplicity. The people shook their heads. But God also had those who believed. What will the end be like? As the beginning was, so shall the end be. The last book of the Bible is a prophetic book. It is not at the beginning of the New Testament. It is even chronologically correct at the end of the New Testament. And there we encounter the words in the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. God has a prophetic period at the end of the time of grace. In this prophetic time period falls the entire fulfillment of what was foretold in the Old and New Testament. Here, the man of God, Peter, he says it very clearly in 2 Peter in chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. The great and terrible day of the Lord is coming, the day that will burn like an oven. Paul, the man of God, he says in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. If we then go to the prophet Malachi to learn what these men were talking about in the New Testament, we read in the last verses of the Old Testament, namely chapter 4 from verse 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 4, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Whoever does not read the Old Testament to know what the day of the Lord is, can read in the New Testament and will not understand it, because the Old and the New belong together, the one like the other, one flows into the other. If the brethren who heard, experienced, ate and drank with Brother Branham in such an extraordinary way for so many years, yes, who were indeed his friends, they went hunting with him, if they would not have sat on their ears, but pondered in their hearts, that such a mighty ministry must have some meaning and purpose. For Brother Branham could do as much and as little of himself as you and I could. But did not the Lord say to him, as John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. All went well, even with the people of Israel, and they were without sin. God did not impute anything to them. They offered their sacrifices. Everything was fine. But with the day and time, when Bible prophecy, when the word took shape, when prophecies began to be fulfilled, God made a new beginning. And whoever missed this new beginning, missed the connection to the work of Jesus. And whoever did not have the connection to the work of Jesus, continued to miss it. Until then, the people of Israel were in the right. They had their worship as Moses was commanded. But then a new period began. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, we are not here to criticize. And if we do, it is I on myself and you on yourself. I beat on my chest and you beat yours. But I really want to say this very clearly today. Even if I am a little inhibited, whoever has only recognized the evangelistic work of God in the ministry of Brother Branham, where everything cheered and rejoiced, where the churches of the full gospel cooperated in the greatest campaigns, and of course also had their advantage in it. With that, nothing has happened yet. That was only the first step towards what would follow. After all, there are many evangelists. Or was there only one? There are many still to this day, and one cannot deny it to them. Many, it seems, work in great blessing. Some stories are perhaps a little exaggerated, have been passed on in part from hearsay, and are even doctored. But that doesn't matter. The touchstone is not evangelism. The touchstone is the moment of fulfillment of the word of prophecy, so that God can determine whether we want to go on with Him by heart. Because it's a very beautiful thing, but only outwardly, when you can sit in a meeting and the people, they are all like they are already somehow lifted up a little higher. And if you ask just a little bit politely the question, have you heard about what Brother Branham has done? Then the very same people who raised their hands before, who sang in new and old tongues, who joined in the praise, they go through the roof, and you no longer recognize them. You think, this can't be the same brother, this can't be the same sister. Just a moment ago, they were blissfully happy, all singing on command and moving back and forth, and suddenly, even their outward appearance changes. The radiant face changes like the face of Cain. It became dark. That's how it is written. Why did it become dark? Because he suddenly understood that God had graciously looked down upon the sacrifice of Abel. Whether you believe me today or not, I have seen people transformed before me from one moment to the next with these eyes that I'm looking out of now. From a pleasant person, even the outward image of the look, the features and everything change in a single moment. The beautiful scribes who could bless the children, who only did right to everyone, they could suddenly act completely different when they were confronted with Jesus. Brothers, sisters, dear friends, let us understand today the gospel with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has made a prophetic beginning by finding its fulfillment according to the word of God. Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4, Malachi 3, verse 1 and 2. The gospel of Jesus Christ has a prophetic end with a prophet sent by God and with a church set apart by the prophetic message. When evangelism is, everyone comes. Recently, there were some people in our city. They made a crusade, and 13 churches and denominations and fellowships, everything took part. They didn't even ask what and how. They just took part. But come with a prophetic message, then the blinds go down in the middle of the day. Why? Because people were left in the dark about God's plan of salvation. It becomes more and more important to me every day, and I want to become more grateful, the longer the more, for the revelation of the Word of God for this time. What use was it for me to know everything if I had not been told by God what I need to know now and what He is doing now? Take it home from this meeting. If anyone should approach you, simply say, the completion God is making with His church is not that in the programs of men, great things here and great things there, but according to the word of prophecy, according to what the Lord has said. Do you now realize that we have indeed been sitting in the school of the kingdom of heaven for a considerable time, and that the Lord has been instructing us, and that today He can justifiably ask, have you understood all this? Would the Lord ask here today, have you understood that the completion must be a prophetic completion? If He were to ask, did you understand what a ministry was in your generation? How can we understand? By the Lord opening our understanding for the Scripture. And I tell you, when this teaching time will be over, we will be able to say, just as the disciples did when He asked, have you understood all this? And they said, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Have you understood it? Did I get it? Yes, Lord. You have revealed it to me. By your Holy Spirit, you have taught us in this time. We would think, and this brings me to a close, that the school of the kingdom of heaven must now be somewhere up in heaven. No, the kingdom of heaven has come near. The first sentence that John, this man, in whom Bible prophecy was fulfilled, the first thing he said was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Our Lord used almost the same phrase. And the kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation. It is inward, in you and in me. We have been transferred into the kingdom of God, born again unto a living hope through the grace of our Lord. His blood covers my guilt. It makes me pure and rich, as the song goes. You are redeemed. Accept and believe it. And the Lord will keep us in His school as long as it takes. And I'm thankful for it. The school of the kingdom of heaven is for all brothers, for all sisters, for great and small. Together we sit under the powerful prophetic teaching of the end time message God has given us in this time. By this, we are distinguished from all others and are not recognized by them either. But one knows us, and he has called us. Are you glad today that God has given us the grace to hear his word from his mouth, not interpreted but revealed in his presence, in his kingdom? The word has not only been heard, we have also seen it. That is why John says, what we have heard and seen. Word of God is not only heard, word of God is also seen. It is seen in you and in me. Oh, the word of the cross, the whole word, wants to become visible in your life and in mine. Sick person, who you are here today, do not only hear the word of healing. May the word be sent to make you well. You who are not yet saved, accept the word of salvation and you will be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and he will bless you from the riches of his grace. Amen. Let us rise and pray. Heavenly Father, together we now come before your holy face, in perfect faith and trust that you now answer, that you save, that you forgive, that you deliver, and that you heal. Lord, in your precious name of Jesus, let the power of God be revealed to individuals, and let your word be confirmed. Beloved Lord, you have made us know the time and hour in which we live, and have spoken to us as a friend speaks to his friend, and have made us know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Almighty God, who was, who is, and who will be, do not disappoint your people, but answer now and confirm your word in a mighty way to everyone who believes from the heart. And let it come to pass in the name of the Lord, that we may not only hear God's word, but see and experience it, that it may become a reality before us, after spirit, soul, and body. Thank you, Lord, for the school into which you have taken us. Savior, have patience and long-suffering with each one, that no one may be left behind. Savior, you help everyone equally. I thank you for this. Thank you that you have sent your servant and prophet. Thank you that with him, with his ministry, a prophetic age has been ushered in. Thank you that we can hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thank you for every brother, for every sister, for all those you have called out and chosen. May your blessing and grace be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Blessed are the eyes that see and the ears that hear. For many would have liked to see and hear what we have been granted and have not been able to see or hear. My God, I know that you are here. Your holiness fills this room. Hallelujah. All things are possible. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Open your heart. Open your mouth. And when you say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you have spoken to me. Hallelujah. Whatever comes into your heart, speak it out. Give glory to God. Hallelujah. For God has arisen from his holy habitation, and made the inhabitants of the earth tremble. Hallelujah. God did great things at the Exodus under Moses. God did great things at the going in under Joshua. He is our God. Hallelujah. He who did great things at the beginning of the new covenant. And all was fulfillment of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Everything that happens in the kingdom of God is fulfillment of the scriptures. Hallelujah. That the scripture might be fulfilled. May rivers of living water flow, as the scripture says. Hallelujah. Praise be to you, my God. We have not followed cunningly devised fables nor interpretations, but the revelation of the word of prophecy that shines like a bright light in a dark place. Hallelujah. The light at evening time. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise his name. When the mountains have leaped and the hills have jumped, what shall be with the people of God? Salvation has come to us. Today, in this hour, salvation has come to you. Hallelujah. Praise and thanksgiving, glory and worship to you, the Lamb, who opened the seals in our time. Hallelujah. You, Lamb of God, to you, the King. Hallelujah. To you, the Lord, Thanks be to you. Praise be to your holy name. Bless all and be with us all. Hallelujah. You are worthy, and to you we want to declare it by singing it and thereby honoring you. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen.